You're listening to a 3CR podcast recorded in the 3CR Community Radio Studio in Melbourne, Australia. If you like what you hear, please consider donating or subscribing so we can keep bringing you more independent community content. For more information, go to 3cr.org.au.
Hi, I'm Kim Salmon. I'd like to have a quick word about public radio, particularly 3CR. The thing about public radio is that it's more open than the more formatted types of radio to what's going on around it. So when you listen to it, you're more likely to hear a reflection of real life. And 3CR, being in the heart of Smith Street, Collingwood, is a particularly good example of what I'm talking about. If you'd like to subscribe, the number is 94198377.
You've been listening to the sand. You could never understand. Feel the fortune flowing. You know it isn't stuck.
The greatest machine ever built. On my bicycle I ride full tilt. Like a hawk in flight, such freedom a delight. Mystery tours, adventures unfold, a treasure valued beyond gold. Solitude, a time to ruminate, nothing at all to frustrate. Just spin the pedals and soar, a joyous chance to explore. cleansing the soul and mind, the open road to unwind. Where will I ride today? Such bliss on open display. The wheels spin at pace, pure love gratefully embrace. A bicycle ride to nowhere, a life not spent in an armchair.
Well, we know where we're going, but we don't know where we've been, and we know.
Yes, back on that road to nowhere with the Yarrabug Radio Show here on Radical Radio 3CR. Streaming, podcasting, or listening on that lovely AWA transistor in the kitchen. That lovely little bit of doggerel comes from Mr. Doggy, actually. Well named. Many thanks to Amy Goodman and Democracy Now. We've got a little bit of a show, just Faith and myself this morning. Talking about a couple of things, Elizabeth Street obviously might be on our radar, and a few other things. So, nice and simple, but right at the top of the show, just to keep reminding people, 1976 to 2026 is 50 years. Subscribe, donate, do whatever you can. Make sure 3CR stays on air, that all the people here can keep producing independent, high-quality journalism. Faith, good morning.
Good morning, Val.
And a lovely morning. Summer has broke.
It's been lovely the last few days. Autumn has arrived.
There we go.
Yeah, very enjoyable.
Easter can't be far away.
Easter's really early this year. It's two weeks away.
It is. So we've got a waning crescent at the moment, just about to disappear to a new moon, so then 2 weeks after that should give us the full moon, which I presume will be just before that Sunday.
Yeah, and Ramadan ends this week.
That's exactly right. And so astrology still has a lot to do with the laughs.
Yes.
Look, we should move on to a little bit of bicycle moments. Have you got something to share?
Well, it was really just that sense of autumn. I had to go and pick up some things a little bit further away yesterday and took the scenic route and, you know, that time of year where you're riding in the sun but there's a slightly cool breeze, not the hot
one. Not the northerly.
Yes, so And it was lovely. And the bike paths really super busy. So, Yeah.
They're flat out at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah.
Which is a great sight. It's lovely to put a jumper on and go for a ride.
I don't know that I was able to do that. But it is very close. I rode home from something on Friday night and was regretting not having taken a scarf.
Ah,
so, yeah, we are in that cusp season.
That lovely transition period. Yeah. Look, I had I know this has happened to me before. You walk out, I think I was going to do the shopping, and go, oh, God, that rear tyre's only got half the air it should have. And I thought, oh, maybe that's just me not pumping it up. So pump it up, do the shopping, wake up the next morning, oh, it's half flat again. I'm going, oh, I'm not sure about this. I don't want to do this. So I put a bit more air in it, but 2 days later, no, it's nearly down again. So I put it up, take the wheel off, pull the tube out. I put it in the bucket of water. I cannot find the hole. So I'm quandary about, well, do I put a new tube in, which I haven't got, of course. I've got one previously repaired. Or do I put it back in? I thought, no, put it back in. And you know what? Hasn't lost any air since. It's one of those things. Obviously the valve, but I'm not 100% sure. A suppressor valve, which usually don't leak much. So whether the bicycle gods just frowned upon me for a week and a half and then decided to smile on me.
Moved on to someone else.
They probably moved. They're correct, actually. I should ask next door neighbour whether he's had any flats lately. So that was funny. Good, actually, to get it done, though. Look, we've got to move on to a little bit of news. Where we start first... look, I keep getting one decision by Barnaby Joyce about electric bikes has just had this impact that cheap keeps on going. Two teenagers died in Queensland over the weekend. This is beyond just a blimp. And I don't think people... there was a thing on ABC this morning about it as well. Really hard to find somebody who's really picked up where this began and a solution to it. I mean, just stop importing those things.
Well, and the federal government have announced there that's exactly what's going to happen, that now imported bikes have to be compliant with the European standard, back to where we were before that change was made. and they're also, in the longer term, working on coming up with more comprehensive regulations, but the problem is there's a volume of these bikes already in the country and there's people who have imported them to sell.
Yeah.
And so we will be dealing with that for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I rode from Richmond this morning to here. Three of them I saw this morning. None of them ridden by teenagers. Two ridden, seemed to be by mothers. Yep. And one by somebody who obviously had a little bit of – had a baby seat on the back. So they're not – it's – you know, it's, I'm saying, oh, you know, what I'm hearing sometimes is, oh – I mean, what I was hearing this morning was, oh, we need more education. I'm going, well, you know, this is it's a bit of a – anyway, it's a bit of a cop-out as far as I'm concerned. So obviously they're used by other people as well. It's not just
– yeah, because often they're a lot cheaper than
something
the quality bikes.
Yeah.
You know, you can get a poorer quality bike at a cheaper price.
Yeah.
So if you are interested in replacing the second car, carrying the kids around, all those things, you know, not everyone can go and buy a Tern or subscribe to one of the subscription services. And I know people who do use those bikes in a very responsible way, but as a cheaper version of that. Maybe it's New South Wales or maybe Queensland, I'm not sure, they have started destroying some,
confiscating
them. And I know in the Netherlands, for example, they destroy about 10,000 a year.
be.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. And that will be, I think that would have an impact on families who are buying a bike for their kids, because if you've spent a big sum of money on thinking it's a bit of fun, and it gets crushed because obviously the way your kid was riding came to the attention of police or whatever, you might be less reluctant to spend it a second time.
Yeah. And we should reiterate, but no battery fires in regulated electric bicycles.
No.
No. All the battery fires have come from these bikes.
For the conversions and the bikes where you're not able to, there's no traceable way of knowing the quality of the battery and the quality of its installation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Faith, what about... we start on Elizabeth Street now, or we leave it? No, let's do it now.
Yeah.
So today, after all the hooey of everything that's happening, they've started work on the bike lanes in Elizabeth Street in Collingwood there. For those who have not up to date on actually how all this unfolded, look, I'd recommend it on the Yarrabug website. Chris has done a great outline of the timeline. And there are a couple of places there to make sure you send in a letter to your local councillor if you live in the city of Yarra, or if you ride through the city of Yarra, which I'm going to say that bike path is used a lot for, because it's virtually it's a east-west separated lane that runs all the way to the city from Church Street, which is probably one of the longest in Melbourne, I would suggest. So, look, there's a call to action there. There's plenty of stuff to do there. Sophie Wade, the Green Councillor, is leading a fair bit of a fight back against it. There was a ride along it on Sunday, which was quite well attended. One of my neighbours popped along to it. So, look, it'll be interesting to see what happens. It's closed at the moment. My neighbour was telling me a funny story while they were there, and a cyclist actually, obviously a father with an electric cargo bike with kids, had to go onto the road to get round where they're closing, and immediately got screamed at by a driver telling him to get back into the bike lane, which I thought was quite funny.
Yeah, so they're resheeting the road, so the planned narrowing of the bike lanes has been timed to coincide with that.
Yep.
And it is interesting because it is a strategic cycling corridor.
Yep.
And, you know, a lot of strategic cycling corridors fall on council roads.
Yeah.
And end up in this grey space where, you know, you get a council who wants to build one but cannot fund it by themselves and are needing some funding from the state government to do that. And I know, for example, in Marybeck there's three strategic cycling corridor projects waiting for additional top-up funding. And the other part of it is that on a council road, council can decide within certain parameters what they do with it, but it is a state government strategic cycling corridor, and there doesn't seem to be that ownership or that willingness to say, well, the quality of this has to
meet a standard.
Yeah. There's, you know, it's a real... And as you mentioned, it's a difference between a local route and something like this, which is really moving people from one area all the way into the city and back. I mean, it does give a lot of people access to destinations along the way as well.
Yep.
But it is, as you mentioned, this also really important east-west through route.
Yeah.
So there is a call to action that Chris has put together, emailing the ministers, Minister Williams and Horn, because there is this ownership lacking, and it's not really good enough to just say, well, it's a council thing. I think, you know, that needs to be clarified. And additionally, some specific funding set aside. Like, we see some strategic cycling corridors built in association with big build projects.
Yep.
You know.
Build a freeway, that's how we got the...
Yeah.
You know.
And but there is no funding set aside to ensure that, you know, other strategic cycling corridors are going to be built or developed.
Yeah.
And so we end up with a situation where even when councils are building them, they're applying for grant after grant after grant.
Yeah.
I mean, the Craigieburn Express in Pascoe Vale and Glenroy and going up through Hume has been shovel-ready. I mean, we must be getting on, I'm tempted to say 10 years, but yeah, at least six, least 6 years shovel-ready, waiting for a successful grant application. And we have a couple of those too. And so that tells, like, there just seems to be this grey space where there's no ownership of this plan, and the role that the state government, they're also, you know, Infrastructure Victoria has written at length about them and their RACV. They're well recognised as a really necessary part of the backbone in Melbourne, and needs to be some stepping up.
And I mean, it's obviously you've got two people involved, and it's quite easy for one to blame the other, and then the other to say, "Well, it's not my fault. You know, they haven't applied." Or
So it's a failure on two people's part. You know, it just makes it more ridiculous, and especially in an election year, you think, well, you know, is this an opportunity to bring this to someone's notice? Like, you know, it's oh, we have strategic cycling corridors, but you
but
can
we don't,
we don't build them, and if you happen to build it, you can then downgrade it.
And look, I think from looking at it, and I'm just going to speak about Elizabeth Street here particularly, the if it becomes unsafe, it's a real problem. You know.
And that's another little hole. Like, you know, if you're a developer and you wanted to build a development on Elizabeth Street, Clause 18 of the Victorian Planning Scheme, which is about transport, identifies the Victorian transport state transport system, and you cannot do anything that is detrimental to the state transport system or would prevent it being developed in future. Now, the principal bicycle network is in the definition of the state transport system.
Yeah.
So a developer along there would get more scrutiny about the impact of what they want to do on those bike lanes than the local council. Proposed changes.
Look, I've further to my talking with my neighbour around the street, she was one of the biggest perplexing issues that came up as we were talking. She said, I cannot believe that something like this would cause so much division. And she asked me, she said, do you think it's political? And I said, look, I would hope not. I mean, ideology, party politics doesn't sit in local government. That's not local government's remit. And I said to her, look, part of the, I'm not sure, you know, sometimes you can be in the dark about this, and obviously I am, there are parts of this room that I can't see. I mean, Stephen Jolly's been great at keeping promises he makes to people. And I think part of this is fulfilling one of those promises. I mean, it was originally just about parking spaces outside the temple. And I think part of that is that. But I don't, I think that they haven't been able to disconnect a little bit of an anti-cycling, I mean, cycling is a white entitlement idea, in Stephen Jolly's words. I don't think they've been able to disconnect that political aspect from it, which makes it you know, people throw their hands up and go, what are you doing?
And it's interesting. There was another councillor at Yarra who made a comment about electric bike libraries and saying that people in diverse communities weren't interested, whereas I know in the north of Marybeck, the long waiting lists for the electric bike library are coming from
diverse backgrounds.
Well, and one of the biggest drivers for, you know, we've taught over 80 Muslim women to ride a bike, and one of the biggest drivers recently is they all want to
electric bike.
Electric bike.
No.
So, and they want to borrow the ones from the e-bike library. So, you know, there's either not very well informed or just making use of cultural capital for their own means. I wouldn't know which it was.
I don't know. Well, I'd love to be able to lean towards somebody fulfilling a promise, but it actually, there's an edge.
There's an edge to,
to it that, I mean, you know, after living through Dandrew Andrews, not having a bike lane over Princess Bridge over his dead body, there's a part of our community who's got this irrational fear of somebody on a bicycle. And on that note, we're just going to take this quick note from our sponsor.
Yarrabug would like to thank Bicycle Network for their financial support. Bicycle Network, a not-for-profit with 45,000 members, working to get more people riding for their health and well-being. Bicycle Network is proud to sponsor the Yarrabug program and support its important advocacy for safer and more accessible riding. By becoming a Bicycle Network member and or participating in one of their iconic riding events, you're supporting Bicycle Network's Ride to School programs and advocacy campaigns to make it easier for everyone to ride a bike every day. Visit bicyclenetwork.com.au for more information.
And you're back listening to the Yarrabug Radio Show here on a 3CR. Now, as you know, our big subscriber drive is coming up. And just to remind people, being a subscriber helps us cover issues important to you, like public housing, First Nations justice, community languages, advocacy for Palestine, celebrating queer and trans communities, and bringing you the best of local independent music. There are not many other places on the AM frequency and podcasting that will tick all those boxes. So this year, if you've been a subscriber all these years, it's time to say this is the 50th anniversary. Maybe I should make a donation to 3CR as well. So always looking forward to the big radiothon and looking forward to people subscribing and donating to this wonderful radio station here in Melbourne. Faith.
Maybe just in other news so people know, there is a detour planned on the Capital City Trail coming up soon. It's at Bennett Street. So that's the crossing. If you were heading east, you would be starting to approach Russell Station or the turn off up the Merry Creek.
Oh, yeah. The one on the left. I know where you meant.
Yeah. Yep. So, there's some gas pipe works there. They're starting on the 18th this week, and it just means that for that section you will be diverted onto Park Street.
Yeah.
So, and I think it's expected to be for a week or so, and then there'll be a temporary reopening of the trail, and then it will close again to be resurfaced.
Thank God. Look, I rode the that lovely little detour to North Melbourne Station the other day, which is interesting. I had a look at some of the figures for Iris. Is it Iris?
Iris Dixon.
Dixon, yep.
She was here, Val.
I know, but I knew the Dixon bit. Iris tips me over. I saw the figures on that were pretty high. They had a, talking about bicycle network, they had a super count the other day.
Yeah.
So they don't just look very healthy.
So that was 600 people in the morning peak.
Yep.
Travelling over the Veloway, which is a really good start. You know, I haven't looked up what the old route on the road used to be in the morning peak. On this day that it was 600, the old route was 35 or something.
Something like that.
So, and it is Honestly, I rode back on the Federation Trail the other day, and that path from Footscray around to Altona, you know, that it connects to the Federation Trail, but then
it takes you down to past. Yep.
That, I mean, that's always busy on a weekend, but that is slammed.
Ooh.
Like, it's a shared path in the sense of a widened footpath.
Yep.
Not ideal with really busy numbers. So, you know, you thought, well, this is going to be the next thing that a solution has to be found. For because, yeah, really, and so many people on the Veloway on the weekends just.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's, and look, to anybody, that's one of Melbourne's, if you're interested in bird life, that is one of the great rides in Melbourne.
Round to Point Cook.
Yeah. And, you know, to make it easier for people, it's not, if you haven't got an electric bike, go on a North Wind day, because you'll get blown from the city through Williamstown, past Altona, all the way to Point Cook. And funnily enough, they put a railway station just where you need it to get back.
At Williams Landing.
Yes.
And, you know, you can also at Williams Landing jump on the Federation Trail and ride back that way. And there's some of those new big connections.
Yep.
So not the most scenic route, a lot of concrete and steel.
Oh, look, you've got to have an understanding of the wasteland to see what something else looks like.
No, I meant the inland.
Oh, yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, you know, and it's post-industrial.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a city in change. Not just inner cities, it's the outer rings that change as well.
Yeah. So you can make a loop, go one way and enjoy the grasses and the rushes and the birds, and then either catch the train back from Williams Landing or ride back via the Federation Trail. Slightly more direct than the
loop. It is one of Melbourne's great rides. Hey, listen, before we finish, I know you and I, we've done a couple of shows on 15 Minute Cities or mentions of, and anybody who's been listening to the show over the years know I'm a bit of a Jane Jacobs fanatic, so always mentioning her. Look, a podcast that I listen to called Origin Story, usually sort of bigger topics than that, but it, over an hour and a quarter or something, it is one of the best summing up of where the idea of 15-minute cities come on, the backlash against Jane Jacobs in that period, and then doing the history of it right up until, you know, the election in England where Richie Sunak and even Keir Starmer started to step back from the idea of low-traffic neighbourhoods. A really fascinating look at the politics and, I'm going to say, you know, the hysteria that was generated by some parts of our communities against what was started off as an idea, a people-size grassroots idea. I'll put a link in the podcast. It's well worth listening to. A really good story about her early life, the battle with Robert Moses, but really worth listening to. And I think that's about all we've got time for, Faith.
That is all we have time for today, Val. Coming
up is Lost in Science.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast. If you found it valuable, please consider donating or subscribing to support independent community radio. To find out more, go to 3cr.org.au.